super hardcore tyranny, the model of the Great Reset and the New World Order, and we're going to be here fighting it big time.
New York City are deploying the National Guard, effectively militarizing their streets and especially their subways. So is this about citizen safety, or is it, as Alex Jones warns, the piloting of martial law? Hello there, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining us on this voyage through truth and freedom. By clicking the link in the description, you can support our movement, getting additional content each week, like this week's displacement theory video, as well as joining us live for our conversations with important thinkers, journalists, and politicians, and help our movement to grow in the face of incredible opposition from globalist forces. And these globalist forces are no doubt on the rise. You will be aware now that New York City, that most liberal of metropolises, has militarized its law forces by putting the National Guard on the subway. Now, New York City is no doubt in a time of crisis, evidently and apparently connected to the issue of migration. But is this sudden appearance of military personnel on the New York subways really about protecting the citizenry, or is it more insidious than that? Are we beginning to experience the piloting and grooming of a population to get us ready for militarized streets? For many years now, we've seen anti-protest laws, militarization of the police. Police cars that used to be like, neenor, neenor, Skeletrix, Dukes of Hazzard, good old-fashioned fun, have become like tanks now. Why has that happened? When did that become necessary? Is it necessary in your neighborhood? And if rising crime is a problem in your neighborhood, what exactly is causing it? Do you trust the people that have the power behind the barrel of the gun or not? Let's have a look at Alex Jones's perspective. You'll be well aware that Alex Jones's perspective will be around centralized authority, authoritarianism, global conspiracies, and piloting. But having just lived through the last 5 years, it does seem that we have been subject, whether it was some of the events around the pandemic or recent censorship laws across the world, to the piloting of ideas in certain territories in order to normalize them. I'm talking about the freezing of bank balances, closing down of people's social media, using government proxies to censor dissenting voices, lockdowns, internment camps, arresting people for things they've said on the internet, imprisoning people for things they've said on the internet. While the time that we're talking about Donald Trump and how bad he is for democracy, is democracy, even under the auspices of actual Democrat rule, becoming more and more authoritarian? Let's start with Alex Jones, then we'll get into what we think is happening together.
Tonight, a new approach to keep subway riders safe.
Guns! Guns aiming at your face! The new way. The army threatening to kill you if you step out of line. Look how compliant the news always is. Look, don't say that this is terrifying. Don't start saying the military are on the subway now. That's a clear indication that whatever your political perspective, things have gone terribly wrong. Say instead, new way to keep you safe. New way to help you go to sleep at night. A firm punch right in the jaw. Huh.
Bag checks and beefed up security with members of the National Guard.
Beefed up? Like it's nutritious? It's like a bone broth made out of a gun pointed at you by the state. Night, night.
As CBS2's Naveen Dhaliwal reports, the plan comes on the same day as another attack on a conductor.
So, you know, attacks on conductors gotta bring in the army, so.
With riders on edge, the governor is putting a plan in place that includes cameras in conductor cabs and more cops on the platforms. At Grand Central Terminal Wednesday evening, bag checks were underway.
It seems to me that in order to protect the legitimizing, raising authority. And indeed, there's such a sort of raging debate in your country about guns and gun ownership and gun laws. And all it seems to amount to, really, is not whether or not there are guns, but who's allowed to have them. And we now know that the state doesn't want to discuss their guns. What about the dangers and threats of those guns? What about the many people that are killed in friendly fires, in wars? Perhaps all we're talking about in politics is who has the right to kill.
As tackling subway safety is now at the top of the list for city and state officials.
These brazen, heinous attacks on our subway system.
On our democracy, by me. What? No, sorry. I mean, on our subway, by someone who's not me, have got to be met by, everyone's got guns now, that works for me. You don't work for me? No guns. You work for me? Guns. Simple, really? Huh?
Will not be tolerated. This was a stern message from the governor.
It is a stern message. It's a stern, very aggressive message. It's an authoritarian message. It's not stern. It's authoritarian. It will not be tolerated. I don't care about your past. I don't care about your social conditions. I don't care about your mental health. I don't care if there's been a fentanyl crisis. I don't care if America's breaking down. I don't care if you're delirious with doubt and you can't feel God in your heart anymore because you're surrounded by lies and treachery. All I care about is do as you're told or we'll kill you. I mean, that what is the message?
After several attacks in the transit system in the past week, these attacks prompting the governor to deploy 1,000 members of the National Guard.
Look, that's the news doing the job of propaganda. These attacks prompting the governor. I don't know. I bet if you had the time to look at the data, you go, how many attacks are there each year since 1970 in New York on staff members? And then you'd have to look at a sort of a variety of factors. Poverty, inequality of wealth, mental illness, some government support. There's so many vital components. When the solution is always, we're going to take some more power because of this, there's a really nasty cuff going around. So, in conclusion, we're going to take a lot more power. There's a really nasty Putin going around. So, in conclusion, we're going to take a lot more power. There's some really nasty truckers going around. So, in conclusion, we're going to take a lot more power. Is the answer always going to be, you're going to take a lot more power? There's a lot of people saying on the internet that we're taking too much power. So, we're going to be taking a lot more power and censoring those people. Okay, and the threat is Donald Trump, how?
And police to subway systems across New York City.
What they're doing, checking bags to make sure explosive or illegal weapons aren't entering our subway system.
I think it's rather offensive to all of us as human beings that Eric Adams, being a person of color, will be framed and celebrated here, or that the news reporter is a person of color. I think both of those things are great. How fantastic. Let's have a diverse and representative, but above all else, fair and equal and truly representative society where you don't centralize authority. I'm getting rather tired of the idea that equality and fairness means highlighting programs of representation in order to mask increasing authoritarianism. I agree with equality, in particularly when it comes to matters around gender and sex, but above all, wealth and power.
City officials say each week NYPD bag screening teams will be at 136 stations. That's about a third of the stations in the system. New York City Civil Liberties Union calling it heavy-handed.
But heavy-handed really means like, oh no, boss, there's another person was rude to a bus conductor. Like that heavy-handed means that you're not even actually in control of the weight of your power. And isn't that the perfect description of how globalist elitist power masquerading as American patriotic power, whether it's in foreign wars or on the most beautiful city in America, some would argue, New York City, and the imposition of authority, all in order, as usual, to help people.
Like stop and frisk, ripping a page straight out of a Giuliani playbook.
We had to, really, because the pages were stuck together. I'd like to take a note. Every time a demon of the liberal elites have their ideas borrowed and utilized by those same liberal elites. Donald Trump is the worst thing that could ever happen. That's why that wall he's building that we mocked him for is still being built. That's why those cages that we condemned him for are still there and were in fact put there by Barack Obama. Giuliani, that pervert, lunatic, maniac son of a bitch, actually had some pretty good ideas when it came to protecting train conductors, which is now something we care about now that we can have armed military on the train. I didn't used to care about Giuliani when he was just being in Borat, but now his ideas can really be used to control ordinary people. I like that guy.
In addition to the bag checks, the governor's plan includes amending state law to ban repeat offenders.
Every single one of these bullet points will amount to more power for the state, greater ability to arrest and control.
Installing cameras in each conductor's cabin.
Mental health outreach. You get the idea, mental health. You know, we'll put something on Instagram. There'll be a hashtag. Everyone's going to feel a whole lot better. And if they don't... Now, a perspective from the other side of the aisle, to put it mildly, Alex Jones. Alex Jones has been a guest on our show, and Alex Jones will be a guest on our show again. As you know, I consider Alex Jones to be a kind of shamanic force in politics. Of course, he occasionally says things that are pretty crazy. Hey, who doesn't? But when it comes to the issue of piloting authoritarian measures and perhaps even martial law, Alex Jones is a voice that's perhaps important. Let's have a look at what he's saying on this subject.
When I was cutting my teeth 29 years ago on air, Bill Clinton had just been in office for a year or so, and it was confirmed the military was warning, it was coming out, they were leaking classified documents that now are all basically admitted and have been publicly rolled out against the public to incrementally bring in martial law. So they went from this being secret under Clinton, and then with Bush, yeah, it's mainly for Al-Qaeda, but it's also for domestic groups. And then you're asking, well, what's this really all about? And then you start to realize it's part of a long-term process of just getting the military, the police, the public ready for this. So here's what's happening. We're not going to have UN troops one day or Russian troops like Red Dawn, and you're in Colorado, and all of a sudden parachutes come down and you've got Russian troops shooting at you. It'll be our own troops, but they'll be made up of people that have been tested for decades, going through the training, going along with attacking their own people. And now the troops are being deployed and searching everyone's bags.
Like, how can you not be affected by that image? That's armed military personnel on the subway being normalized. I am quite sympathetic to this perspective, given what I've witnessed and experienced in the last few years. And indeed, Jones is showing he's working out an incremental increase in these tactics and techniques over several administrations. Isn't that indeed the domestic heart of what globalism means, that regardless of who you vote for, you've got deep state interests that have an agenda that spans various administrations, and those administrations will focus on hot-button cultural topics. Meanwhile, the projects of war and social control will continue. And even beyond the physical representation of military presence on the street, which is terrifying, we know and often discuss how techniques designed to track and control dissidents abroad, specifically, literally, groups like ISIS, are now deployed. Once you've seen armed military personnel conducting bag checks on a subway in New York City when there isn't a war happening or anything remotely like it domestically across America, then you have to acknowledge that that is something that is significant. And quite a lot of power and time and propaganda has to be invested in saying that someone like Alex Jones is hysteric. And due to his, let's call it his presentational style, he does make that kind of analysis in some circles quite credible. But let's not forget what we're looking at. We're looking at armed troops on the subway in New York. There's not been a terror attack. We're not in the middle of COVID. It's just being normalized.
Without a warrant, all these decades of preparation for martial law, and that's what this is here.
It is interesting. Bags being searched without a warrant by troops is a pretty significant step to normalize, particularly in a city like New York. Often when I talk about piloting, I mean Australia, internment camps, trucker protests, and the evocation of the Emergencies Act in Canada, the freezing of bank accounts in Canada and Ukraine. New York City, that's a bold move. But I suppose the fact is broadly compliance has become allied to opposition to Trump. That's what it means. Like, that if you are opposed to liberal democracy, and liberal democracy now means war in Gaza, it means war against Russia, it means being compliant when it comes to medical suggestions that come from the state. All ideas that in the 60s, when the heroes were people like Malcolm X, like, you wouldn't have thought, one thing you want to be is obedient. When Pfizer says jump, you say how high, and oh, I'm not sure I'll be able to because my heart hurts. Now, authoritarianism has become somehow allied to liberalism, and the idea that military force and military intelligence is turned against a domestic population has become normalized. We know from personal experience now that agencies, deep state agencies and proxies funded by the state that were used as intelligence assets to oppose terrorists, as they were then called, perhaps understandably, in various Middle Eastern wars and subsequent disputes, are now deployed against domestic populations. That's a fact in your country, in mine, across the world. So, in essence, what we're witnessing is we, the domestic population of these nations, are regarded as the enemy. And that doesn't take a brilliant analysis, actually, because just watch the Oscars. You know, Trump, he's in the... That's 50% of the population. That's 50% of the population that now includes black people, Hispanics, significant numbers of women. It's not just, mega, you know, it's not that. It isn't that. And by the way, you're allowed to be that if that's what you are. All of you have the right to be who you are.
But they have to create the climate first for martial law and civil emergency to sell us on it, the angrier world that Klaus Schwab talks about.
Yeah, it's an important point that the occupying force are there as protectors. And actually, that's not a new idea. The English or British occupation of Northern Ireland begins as we're here to protect, I think initially, forgive me, Catholics in Northern Ireland. It just became normalized. And I know there's a long and complex history between our two separate nations. But often the introduction of the military is portrayed as for safety and security and protection. I think that probably happens in the sort of Balkan War, Middle Eastern campaigns, peacekeeping force. Actually, if that piece of language was introduced when I was a little older and a little better educated, I'd gone, peacekeeping? Force? That doesn't seem like the way you get peace.
I say the whole world must learn of our peaceful ways. By force.
This is not a right-wing piece of writing, by the way. In this journalism, Donald Trump is criticized for his attempts to deploy the National Guard during the uprisings that came from George Floyd's murder. So this is not apolitical, this is political, but it's political from the side that you would not have expected. That, for me, increases its validity and is precisely the type of discourse that we must engage in. If you find yourself either side of that line, you're being controlled. The mobilization of 2,000 city and state police and National Guard troops in New York City on the pretext of fighting crime in the vast subway system is a demonstration of the reactionary character of the Democratic Party. Last month, New York City's Democratic Mayor Eric Adams announced he would deploy 1,000 New York Police Department cops in the subway system after a law and order campaign by the city's tabloids sensationalizing a handful of violent attacks against subway riders and transit workers, which, knowing what I know now about how the media operates, were possibly written in conjunction with the people that introduced this law. It would be, hey, we got these stories, we'll give you access to this story, we'll give you this interview, we'll give you this access, we'll give you this tax break, we'll give you this. We now know that that's the relationship between the media and the state. Do you think that the X-Files was the first time deep state were embedded within a media organization? Let me know in the chat. On Wednesday, New York Governor Kathy Hochul, also a Democrat, announced she was redeploying 750 National Guard troops already in New York City, as well as 250 state troopers and police of the Metropolitan Transport Authority, MTA, the state agency that runs the subways, to increase the number of uniformed personnel patrolling subway stations and riding trains. I remember when I was a kid, I used to hear people talk about, you know, you want to see more bobbies, that's the word in our country, bobbies on the street. But the image there is a sort of a member of the police force on a bicycle. And again, this might just be where I am in my own personal evolution. It seems like a rather pleasant idea. A member of the police force, again, that word, that is working for the community. But now, just think about how it feels to you as a person. When you're on the subway and you see people with machine guns, do you feel inside yourself, that's good that that's happening, I feel more safe? Now, I don't know what else might make you feel unsafe. I don't know who you are or where you're from or how you've been coached and trained. Maybe a group of young people with their hoods up makes you feel bad. Maybe a group of drunk men in suits makes you feel bad. Maybe people wearing religious attire of some denomination makes you feel bad. But one thing I can say with some certainty is granting further and further authority to a group invested in war and control will not be good for any of us, regardless of our outward accoutrements. The troops are currently operating out of Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn as part of Joint Task Force Empire Shield. I mean, that's not good, is it? Joint Task Force Empire Shield. I mean, they're telling you what they're up to. What are you doing? We're shielding the Empire. And what if I don't agree with the Empire? Well, I mean, I could put it in a number of ways, but how about, well, I don't know. Joint Task Force Empire Shield, set up nearly a quarter century ago after the terrorist attacks of September the 11th, 2001. Okay, so that event increased authority, increased spying, increased surveillance, increased war, and we all agreed it was a good thing to do, didn't we? Except for the millions of people who marched against that war against Iraq, which, by the way, happened anyway, of course. We all agreed that it was necessary because we were under threat. So what's happening now? We're under threat, right? From MAGA Trump on one side or immigrants on the other side, so we better get the military on the streets. They regularly patrol in the Grand Central Station, the Port Authority, and a few other transportation hubs, wearing camouflage uniforms and equipped with automatic rifles, but not engaging with the population. Now the soldiers will take on the role of supplementing the NYPD, helping with random searches of bags and backpacks and other police activity. They will also move deeper into the subway system, appearing at more of its 472 stations and riding trains. Like, this is not CBGB's, New York Dolls, Ramones, Bowie, Warhol, Blondie, New York City, let's get on it, yeah, we're free. If I lived in New York right now, I'd be frightened. I've lived in New York before. If I lived in New York and they militarized the underground, I'd think it's time to get out. And we'll be seeing this, I predict, and actually Alex Jones has predicted already, with a good degree more experience and research than we're able to deploy, that we're going to be seeing this more often. And the good thing about it is we'll know, won't we? Because they won't just suddenly do it and say it's to pick up sweet rappers, although, God, you know, maybe they do that in Singapore. They will say it's to protect you. So watch out for that. Now you know what to watch out for. Hochul announced other repressive measures, including the installation of cameras in every subway car and in the cabs used by drivers and conductors. The Democrats in the state legislature will introduce a bill to bar anyone convicted of a crime of violence on the subways from using the transit system for 3 years, effectively barring them from living and working in the city, where only the wealthy and upper middle class can go about their daily lives without riding the subway. Again, this is like hate law stuff, isn't it? Well, you can't blame us. If someone's committed a violent crime in a subway, then it's sensible to ban them. If you commit a crime against one of our workers, one of our personnel, we have a duty to protect them, and we cannot let you ride the subway. Except, what if they didn't? And what was the provocation? And under whose authority? And who trusts the judiciary now anyway? And who trusts the military? And who trusts the police force? Even the military don't trust the military. They're setting themselves on fire. They're living on the brink of poverty while still serving. There are 40,000 of them homeless right now. If I see someone in a military uniform, I don't know whether I let them check my bag or flip them a buck. The terms hate and terror are being more widely used to appropriately categorize groups in ways that means that they can be penalized, controlled, criminalized, or shut down. You've all seen videos of like a mentally ill kid being dragged out by the police for saying something off-key in public. You know, wasn't that long ago? Oh, Tourette's, they've got Tourette's. Oh, you know, they're using this authority in whatever way is convenient. A terrorist now, and for some time has been, someone that the centralized authority has a problem with, an individual or group whose intentions are adversarial to the state. Now, the problem is all of our intentions ought to be adversarial to the state because the state facilitates globalist corporatism, primarily domestic order in order to continue to facilitate that secondarily. And other than that, it's like, I don't know, putting on things like the Oscar. I don't know what the other role is. January 6th, protesters are terrorists. Good, because you know, that was terrible. That was an insurrection. And pro-Palestine protesters are terrorists. Well, good, because you know, those people, they're not like us. Oh, so are you not noticing the crucial fact that wherever you might feel on the political spectrum our culture offers us, you can be regarded as a terrorist if you're a nuisance? Statistics collected in recent years show that the campaign to whip up fears of violence on the subways has no basis in fact. Oh, good. Right, I mentioned earlier that there'd probably be information available on the amount of attacks that take place. Here's some information. So, get ready. NYPD figures showed a 2.6% decrease in subway crime in 2023 compared to 2022. Although there was a jump in January 2024 compared to the same month last year. Probably because they registered statistics differently because they knew they were about to introduce these laws. A cynic might assert in conjunction with a spate of stories released in high-profile and compliant media outlets. Hey, let me know in the chat if you agree. According to a separate analysis by the MTA and the New York Times, all right, yeah, that vast template of opinion, the New York Times, violent crimes occur at a rate of between 1 and 2 per million subway rides. Quick, get the army down here. Once every million or two subway rides, there could be a crime. Well, are there any areas in culture where there's continual crime? There are. Do you want to sort that out? But a few violent incidents, the knifing of a subway driver, the shooting of a passenger in Brooklyn, have been sensationalized by the media and capitalist politicians of both parties. Hochul did not conceal the political motives behind her announcement of the troop redeployment. I'm also going to demonstrate that Democrats fight crime as well, she told MSNBC on Thursday. This narrative that Republicans have said and hijacked the story that we're soft on crime, that we defund the police. No, not only do we defund the police, we defund and yet still use the military on the subway. There you go, get down there and search bags. And when you've finished your tour, there's a sleeping bag for you. Go sleep down there. The New York Civil Liberties Union said, today's announcement fails to address long-standing problems of homelessness, poverty, or access to mental health care, all of which serving personnel could evidently do with. Remember Aaron Bushnell, just a little while ago, scrubbed from the internet. Instead, a sweeping surveillance state was being established. One of the key episodes in Trump's preparation of his attempted political coup on January 6, 2021, you can let me know whether or not you agree that that's what that was his threat to invoke the Insurrection Act during the summer of 2020 and send the military into major American cities to suppress popular demonstrations against police violence sparked by the murder of George Floyd. Now, a Democratic governor is deploying troops in the largest American city on an equally bogus pretext. Doesn't matter whether you are at a Black Lives Matter protest or a pro-Trump MAGA protest. In the end, if you get in their way, you're a terrorist. You have more in common with one another another than you have in common with the media or political systems that are attempting continually to divide you. It is impossible for the US ruling elite to carry out this policy democratically. It requires a frontal assault on the democratic rights of the working class and the build-up of the repressive forces of the capitalist state. So by the time that new measures are introduced that are unpopular, whether it's the increase of war or the increase of authoritarianism, the sight of the military on the streets and transport facilities of major metropolises will be normal and accepted. Look at the people already just breezing past armed guards on a subway as if it ain't no thing. Perhaps thinking to themselves, this will protect me from immigrants. Perhaps thinking to themselves, this will protect me from BLM protesters. Perhaps thinking to themselves, this will protect me from January 6th insurrectionists. Whatever they need to put in your mind to make you more compliant, they're willing to put there. That's why we are very determined, most determined, to put into your heart a spirit of real individual sovereignty and collective representation, so that we may oppose this authoritarianism together.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you want to see more uncensored content where free speech can flourish, join our live stream. Click the link right here to watch the next video if you want to, or become a member of a growing movement. Download the Rumble app and you'll be informed every time we make a new piece of content. Stay free.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Look Into It. Tonight, this is his third appearance on Look Into It. Please welcome the man, the myth, the legend, Alex Jones. What's up, Alex?
I thought you were going to say Joe Rogan or Eddie Bravo, but all right.
Dude, so much shit has happened. So much shit. I mean, what?
Hey, look how they just threw the case out in Georgia. The main racketeering, the judge said, it's a fraud. You have no evidence, you big, fat, evil George Soros witch. That Fannie Willis literally flies into the courtroom on a damn broom.
So that's over? It's totally over.
Well, they still got the subcharges, but the main thing, the judge just killed the racketeering charge and three other charges on Trump. So the racketeering is what ties it all together. So, yeah, now the judge just handed her a giant mess to embarrass her more because she lied and said she wasn't screwing that prosecutor for years. And of course, anybody can buy the cell phone data. And they showed him shacking up with her like 2 years before at her house like 25 times. And everywhere else, because, you know, just like Dinesh D'Souza a few years ago went and bought in a few cities, it's very expensive. He just bought the cell phone data of all the mules going to these safe houses and then getting the ballots they went and put in the drop boxes. And just like D'Souza got that, you or I, anybody, if you're willing to plop major cash down, can get the cell phone records of anybody. So she got up there and said, oh, I didn't start dating him till 2 years ago. Well, they had her 4 years ago, shacked up at his house, him shacked up at her house. So she's going to be lucky if she doesn't get indicted for perjury, that evil George Soros witch.
How about if a sex tape comes out of her and that dude? That would be fucking crushing, right?
I'm sure that, but I'm not into bestiality videos. I mean, like watching a man have sex with a whale is just disgusting.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. So the Georgia case, it's falling the fuck apart. What about the New York shit with the, you know, Mar-a-Lago being worth $18 million?
That wasn't even a real case. Just like in my cases, the judge found him guilty in default and said Mar-a-Lago's worth $18 million when people are ready to buy it for $800 million right now. They're selling two-acre lots for $220 million. He's got 18 acres with over 100 buildings on it and a golf course. And if people are ready to buy it right now for $800 million, and the judge, notice, it said the judge found him guilty. People go, oh, it's a bench trial. You can choose in a criminal or civil trial a judge, but you choose the judge. Trump, under New York law they passed just for him, he didn't get to choose a jury trial. Just like in that crazy lady that said rape is hot, E. Jean Carroll, the jury's never said Trump raped her 25 years ago with no witnesses. He wasn't allowed to say he was innocent. Eddie, since when can you not say you're innocent? I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer was guilty, but he's allowed to say he's innocent.
So are all these trials just, they know at the low level, they got their corrupt judges and they could just do whatever the fuck they want.
Here's how
and
it works. Americans until now have not been awake as Eddie Bravo for 20 years or Alex Jones for 30. Hell, when I met you 25 years ago, you were already awake. So it's 25 years ago. I'd probably wake up before that. The point is, they still think courts are somewhat fair. Now all the polls show like 80% don't believe the courts. 2 years ago, 90% believe the courts. So there's still a lot of jurisdictions that are real and things. But Soros has got in over 1,000 DAs, over 2,000 county attorneys. He's got 21 of the state attorney generals, like Letitia James in New York that brought the case against Trump on real estate. And so what they do is they default you in civil trials and say you didn't appear or didn't respond. You do. Then the judge takes over. They don't have a jury trial. They have a judge trial. In my case, they defaulted me and said I was guilty, but still had a jury trial as a show. But the jury was there to decide how guilty I was, and then how much. And then the judge said he made $400 million off this. I never made $10 off Sandy Hook. And then they sit there and tell the jury he's got all this money and you can't defend yourself. People say, oh, your lawyers suck. No, the judge gives them every day a big list of things they can't say and says, I'll sanction you and take your bar license if you speak up. Both my lawyers still spoke up. Both have been sanctioned by the court. They're trying to take my lawyer in Connecticut's license away. He's a famous criminal lawyer, Norm Pattis. So, man, people are getting it. Like, people are like, wait. You're already guilty, but a jury's going to decide how guilty? Well, with Trump, they've just gotten rid of juries altogether in some of these cases.
Yeah, why are they so after Trump at this point? If he's like, some people think he's just playing, you know, bad cop, good cop, and he's part of the deep state. And is he with them or is he not with them? Because it seems like they're really fucking going after him, right?
No. Look. Trump is just like Elon Musk. He sees a collapsing global system, and he wants to take it over. Maybe he's good, maybe he's bad. But the hatred for Elon Musk, the hatred for Trump, is both real. And it's because you don't tell those guys what to do. Normal presidents, except for Nixon, they removed him too. Nixon said, I'm the president, screw you, I'm in charge. So they set him up. It's the same thing. Trump's not perfect. He's really smart in ways, really tough. I admire him. He's wrong on some things, you know, right on like 95% in my view, from my perspective. But he doesn't let anybody tell him what to do. So everybody since Nixon has been a complete puppet since they removed Nixon. And Trump came in and said, no, listen, I'm in charge, okay? And I make the decisions. And so you've got these boards and these bureaucrats and these think tanks that normally run stuff, and they're pissed. So, yeah, Trump's real. And 100% for America doesn't mean I agree with anything he does, but he's real. He's his own man. He's in charge. His biggest strength is nobody's a bigger pig-headed person than Trump. He's like a jackass. I mean that in a good way. Like, he's stubborn. You don't tell him. You can't push him around. But at the same time, then when you're good and trying to warn him, he doesn't listen. So, yeah, Trump's 100% real. Doesn't mean he's 100% perfect, but he's 100% real. Just like I'm a real, Joe Rogan's real, you're real. Doesn't mean you and I and Joe agree on everything, but we're still real. We're our own men. We make our own decisions. And that's what Elon Musk and Donald Trump are doing. So we're seeing the real deal right now.
A lot of conspiracy theorists that I know, I would say 80% don't trust Elon Musk. And, you know, because, you know, he's involved with, you know, SpaceX. And I mean, he faked launching a fucking Tesla into space on a billion year orbit around the sun.
Amazing pictures from space. Elon Musk pulls off an engineering feat. He sent his own kind of rocket man on board a Tesla Roadster into orbit. Elon Musk has outdone himself this time.
But this is much more than a publicity stunt involving just a car in space. Let's start with the science. This afternoon, SpaceX launched the world's most powerful rocket, and it's a major milestone for the company. And this is a live look at what's happening right now in space. That's Elon Musk's own Tesla convertible in orbit. The driver is a mannequin he's calling Starman. But CBS reporter Manuel Borroquez shows us what came down is also making news.
27 rocket engines fired at once, sending the Falcon Heavy into space and the SpaceX crew into applause.
Well, if you could hear all that cheering, it was an outstanding test flight of the Falcon Heavy.
The mega rocket combines the power of three SpaceX rockets into one, generating over 5 million pounds of thrust, enough to launch a 737.
It's a very big step forward, and we hadn't seen a rocket this powerful since the space shuttle retired back in 2011.
SpaceX founder and CEO Elon Musk spoke with CBS space analyst Bill Harwood Monday at the launch pad.
Why does the country need this rocket?
I think this rocket's great for a lot of reasons. It's something that I think inspires the public, and you could actually send people back to the moon with the Falcon Heavy, with the orbital refueling, send people to Mars.
payload on this test launch is Musk's Midnight Cherry Tesla Roadster with a dummy named Starman. It's headed for an elliptical orbit around the sun that extends as far out as Mars, and it could remain in orbit for hundreds of millions of years. And the side boosters that got the Falcon Heavy into space, Musk got them back intact. They stuck their landings at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. Manuel Bojorquez, CBS News, Kennedy Space Center.
All right, we got to show you more live pictures from space. Coming up in about 90 minutes, if all goes well, rockets on board will fire again, sending the Roadster on its way towards Mars.
So it's like it's hard to fully trust them, but it's possible that you're right, and he is actually in the middle of awakening, and now he's starting to see that, you know, what good is all his money if we're going to live in a Mad Max world.
Exactly, right? Exactly. In a Mad Max world, Zuckerberg's building bunkers, they're all building bunkers. Why not have a good world where your money's worth something? Look, I'm not Elon Musk apologist. I'm not Elon Musk publicist. All I know is, let's say you got a clock, and 12 noon is total freedom, and 6 is total slavery. So Elon Musk, you know, was basically at 3 o'clock before. He did a lot of weird stuff, things I didn't agree with, Neuralink, self-driving car. But in the last 2 years, he's moved almost to Eddie Bravo level. And Joe, you know, is a good guy. He's moved way over there, too. So is Tucker Carlson. So you and I, we're not bragging. It's true, we're way ahead of the curve. The whole world sounds like Eddie Bravo. Of the top 100 most popular talk show hosts in the world, all 100 are anti-New World Order. We're electing anti-New World Order people all over the world. The world has woken up. So whether they were already awake or whether they're trying to just get on board a bandwagon, I don't care. Because when you start winning, you got to get ready for everybody to come over to your side. So I've been doing this 30 years in April. In about 3 weeks, middle of April. Remember, my first show was on April 15th. They said, are you here because of tax day? And I said, no. I talked about taxes because of it. I've been on Access TV 30 years ago in April. And I got a local radio show about a year later, got syndicated 2 years later, just kicked, you know, worked hard. And it's been a, you know, 30-year success story, overnight success story. But no, I mean, look, you don't do – Elon's reaching like 300 million people a day with the stuff, exposing the transgenders and the open border and the New World Order. I know there's a lot of hanky-panky with electric cars and space and a lot of weird shit going on. But he's moving way towards us, so I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are concerned that that's just that's part of the deep state plan, get you to follow a false idol. Like he's playing the role, like, oh, he's going to save everybody. Follow
him.
Yeah,
well, here's the difference. I'm not following Alex Jones or Eddie Bravo or Joe Rogan or Tucker Carlson or Elon Musk. He's doing irrevocable damage to them. They are openly with George Soros and the EU and the New World Order and the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Justice Department trying to put Elon Musk in prison. He's Elon Musk is one of two things. He's either an opportunist that sees the current New World Order going down. He wants to run it. So he's posing as a savior to come and do it. That may be it. Or he's woken up as a humanitarian. But I'm telling you right now, if I'm walking to my car and somebody walks over and hits me in the head with a lead pipe and knocks me down and I'm bleeding, and some good Samaritan comes over and kicks their ass and protects me, maybe that person's doing it for bad motives. All I know is they just were helping. So yeah. You can't argue with the pudding. Christ said you judge a tree by its fruit, said he. And right now, Elon Musk is in influence in the world, not just in America. It was like this. Elon Musk and then twins, Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, and then Alex Jones and Jordan Peterson and a few others.
Candace Owens.
I would say, you know, she's, I mean, you're big. You're down there in that constellation. I'm just saying, I'm calling it like it is. I mean, I'm like not the starting guy, but all the starters are on the field, and you and I are like right behind the starters. And I know this. Nobody tells me what to do. And I also have kind of a bias. People are telling me all day, somebody's telling me what to do. I'm getting orders from somebody. Bullshit. I run my own life. I'm calling my own shots, and I'm really trying to tell the truth. And we have arguments, you know, you and I on the phone, and tech, me and you and Joe were arguing 2 days ago, and I agree with this, he disagrees with that, you agree with this. I mean, we're not, there's somebody telling Joe Rogan what to do. I mean, yeah. I mean so I know how the real world works. The globalists have had their power for a while. When we were asleep, they were able to do whatever they wanted. The awakening's here. We're about to find out what's really going on.
You know, like my theory on the Bushes is like George Bush Sr. and George W. I think that they were brought into the Republican Party or came into the Republican Party to ruin it. And that's what it looks like. It looks like Operation Let's Crush.
You know, don't think, if you'd like me to lay this out, historic Eddie, you are 100% right on that. Go ahead and make your point.
But my point is, so George Sr., he's like one of the fucking kingpins. He goes, you know what? I'm going to go in. Because there's two sides. There's a Republican side, Democrat side. And even Ronald Reagan said if fascism was to infiltrate, they'd always go in through the left because it's easier. The left is easier to infiltrate. The left is easier to blackmail. The left is easier to corrupt. The right is blackmailed and corrupt, too. But it's a little harder. It's not even. Nothing is even. The Democrats are easier to control through blackmail and through because it's all free love and
well and they were the first party, so they've been in charge from the beginning, so they're just older. Yeah, it's been taken over. I totally agree.
So when you started your shit, you were balls deep going after the Bushes. That's why they blew you up, right? They're like, oh shit, Alex Jones is perfect. He's going after the Bushes because I mean, when you look at like 9/11. That's pretty fucking obvious that, Michael Moore had a movie, 9/11 Fahrenheit. It was a fucking nationwide release. They were trying to, mainstreaming.
Let me speak to both those points.
Yeah.
The globalists are good at picking talent once it emerges and trying to co-opt it. So you didn't become the world jiu-jitsu champion because they decided to blow you up. You came from nowhere and you beat the top people. Okay, Joe Rogan didn't blow up and take over because they picked him. It's because he's really smart, gets better and better. He's played the long game. But there's truth they try to co-opt. Even if you don't let them co-opt you, they'll create this image of you and this kind of media caricature that they do promote that's not you. So I'll talk about that in a moment. But you made a lot of big points here. So let me go back to George Herbert Walker Bush, okay?
Okay.
All right, what you said about they were sent in to take over the Republicans is 110%. Absolutely true, and I could talk for 5 hours, but just let me give you just a couple minutes on that. Eddie, I saw your video down for a minute. You're back. All right, so let's talk about it right now. Where do the Bushes get their power? Prescott Bush is the deputy lawyer at Brown Brother Harriman in World War II.
That's George Bush Sr.'s father, Prescott Bush, his father.
Yes, Senator Bush is the deputy lawyer. One of the most powerful law firms in America. And so when the Nazis fail, there's London Guardian on this, it's been released, it's not denied. There's the equivalent of $50 trillion plus dollars, back then, tens of billions, of Nazi money in U.S. banks, in Canadian banks, and in Mexican and Brazilian and Argentinian banks, because the Nazis were, in case they lost, were heavily investing in America. And it came out, they had the McCormick-Dickstein hearing committees, that Prescott Bush was a big Nazi and all this, but he turned double agent the last 2 years of the war. The Kennedys were involved too with Joe Kennedy, and both Kennedy brothers were dating a Nazi spy and all that. That's in like History Channel shows. But they turned back against the Nazis a few years in the war, just like the King of England had to advocate Edward VIII because he was a Nazi too. So, you know, the Nazis were on Time magazine. They were the good guys until like 1940. So the Bushes had all this Nazi money. And then with that, it wasn't a Nazi conspiracy, but with the CIA and OSS that became MI6 at the end of World War II, they pledged that money into the Western intelligence agencies. And the Western intelligence agencies with Operation Paperclip and the Rat Line brought in 30-plus thousand Nazis into America. Klaus Barbie, Joseph Mengele, all those guys did escape to Argentina. Hitler really died in the bunker, really committed suicide from all the evidence we have. So you have the Bushes, who then wrote in books and articles that when he was the director of the CIA, he got hired by Nixon. He went from being a Democrat to basically being a Republican. And then their job was to fully take over the Republican Party after Nixon. And that's why Bush Sr. stepped down in 1993 and let Clinton win. And so since Clinton, or since Bush Sr., Clinton, George Jr., that was the deal, then Obama, it was supposed to be Hillary, one CIA club controlling both parties. That failed. And then when Trump came in, he's not controlled by any agency. He calls the shots. And so that's why they're so pissed at Trump. And that's why the CIA has tried to remove him, why they've run the Russiagate and all this stuff. So that is all admitted, that 100% the neocon blue blood Republicans saw the rebellion, because they already had the left go along with open borders and globalism and pedophilia and all this stuff. The Republicans were the threats. They wanted to control it. And so now, because of the Tea Party and then Trump and everything, we've taken over the Republican Party pretty much. Now Trump's daughter-in-law's control the RNC. Now they're in full panic mode. Now the fake prosecutions aren't working. Now it's all going down. But yeah, I was on Access TV. There was nothing like it at the time. Then I got a local radio show. I got top ratings. I went and found out about satellites, paid myself to get syndicated. I sat there and called myself every week, hundreds of radio stations, kissed the ass of affiliate directors, and got back when talk radio was big, and I was making films. And so I was getting on 50,000-watt stations, big ones, little ones. I did all that. There was a time kind of when the left tried to embrace me in the middle of the Bush administration, but I was already launched. But they tried to co-opt me. They flew me out to California. I met with the big Hollywood elites. I met with the top producers. I met with the lawyers for Spielberg, all of them. They said, we're going to give you a movie career. We want you to be a liberal. We want you to take over everything. Then Roger Ailes offered me a job a few years later at Fox News. I said no to that. So you're right. They came to get me later, but they didn't boost my career. I did it myself. Then they tried to come get me to work for them, and I've never worked for them.
Yes. So what were your feelings of Obama when he was running for president? Did you already have him figured out? I mean, you know his mom and his grandpa are CIA, right?
That's declassified. That's a fact.
Okay. So did you know that back then, or were you kind of like, because me and Joe are like, damn, maybe he is hope. Maybe he is the one. We were fooled for a little bit. I was fooled a little bit by Obama.
I was producing for 6 months before he got elected. He did get elected. People bought into him. Unlike Biden, he was elected both times, landslides. I was producing the Obama deception 6 months before he got elected. I knew he was going to be elected.
Oh, so you
and
knew.
But John McCain was controlled too. So that was totally selected. And then Mitt Romney was controlled. So there was no choice then. It was back to the CIA controlling both parties. And so I made the Obama deception that was released 1 week after he took office. That's free online. Watch the Obama deception. And I then predicted everything he was going to do.
You know, like, because he came out of nowhere. Like, there was like, no, there's no real records of like his political career, right? He was a senator, but like his college days are a mystery.
Yeah, I made some phone calls and did some research. Knew he was working with the Bushes and working with the Democrats. So, I mean, I knew he was the next selection. And so that's how I was aware of him.
So you knew from the get he was CIA.
Yeah, I mean, I made a film about it that I produced. I started production 6 months before he was inaugurated. So I started about 4 months before he got elected, about 2 months before he was sworn in. I released it 1 week after he was inaugurated. It got Google Video was still around. Then it got like 80 million views on Google Video. Then they took it down on YouTube. It got like 50 million views. And that was the big film put me on the map. I mean, I was big before, but that film absolutely made me like a superstar with the Tea Party and the populist Republicans.
Yeah, it swung back because, you were going after George W. And everybody was going after him. I mean, Will Ferrell.
Exactly. The liberals were crazy, though. The liberals were crazy because I was pro-gun and anti-abortion and all this stuff. But because I was attacking Bush, they liked me. Because they were low level, even though they were Hollywood people, they didn't get it because they weren't sophisticated. But I was always saying the two parties were controlled back then. I was always exposing it. And then listen, Eddie, I was doing voiceovers back then, the Screen Actors Guild. I got paid 1 year alone. They had me doing ads for insurance companies because I could do like the voice of Darth Vader or Optimus Prime. It was kind of a combo voice. I got paid $900,000 1 year right when Bush was leaving office. And I remember they called up and they said, listen, we're about to renew your contract, but we don't like the fact you're attacking Obama. And I said, I'm going to attack him. And they canceled my contract. They had me doing movie theater trailers because I can do the big, movie theater voice of God stuff.
Do it. Let me see it. Let me hear something. Do an ad.
I mean, I can do famous voices like Megatron, prepare to die. I mean, I can do Darth Vader. Impressive. Most impressive. But, I mean, the kind of voices they wanted, I would work with them. You know, I would fly to L.A. and spend like 3 days. And they'd say, we want a combination of Optimus Prime and Darth Vader. So it'd be like, it would be like such and such insurance has the, you know, with over 200 years, this company is ready to protect you and your family. Visit such and such today for the highest quality service you'll ever have. I mean, it was just, I mean, I can do the big voice, you know that.
Can you do it, George Soros voice?
I need to see a clip, kind of like, so you work for Hitler?
Well, yes, it was the best time of my life. It was happy-making time. I would do it again. I do not have any guilt. Someone else would have been rounding up the Jews if I didn't.
Do you feel guilt?
No, I feel no guilt.
I was 14. I was 14. It's the big deal. I was just a kid having fun.
Yeah. But the key is, like, I still feel no guilt. I just would do it again. It was happy-making.
Okay, Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab.
Happy meal.
Invite Klaus Schwab to the Bohemian Grove. Ask him if he's going to go. Like what? Like Klaus, are you going to this year's Bohemian Grove?
Who is your favorite person that you've groomed for office in government? There are many peoples, but Justin Trudeau is the best. We penetrate the cabinets.
Oh, dude. What I mean. I don't know how that guy is, they didn't pull that guy. Like, whoever's running the deep state or the Illuminati, they're like, dude, Klaus, we love you, dog. But, dude, everybody,
see, they want to gaslight. It seems like that backfires. No, they want to say you will eat bugs. And by the way, I didn't tell the story about $900,000 to brag. I was, like, getting seduced by Hollywood and didn't even know it. Like, oh, hey, here's your contract. And I was told you'll be paid like $20 every time the ad airs, and they aired it thousands of times. So I'm getting like $100,000 checks, and then a year later they go, by the way, we want you to leave Obama alone. And most people would say yes, sir. But see, you know, that's like when a basketball player criticizes Uyghurs in concentration camps in you know, Mongolia, and they go, hey, you better. And then they apologize. It's the same thing. So I didn't know I was being compromised when I was. But at the moment of truth, then I said, well, screw you. Then, boom, lost the contract. But imagine, that was just the start. And I was doing a good voiceover. It's not like I didn't make them the money. They told me it was the most successful ad campaign that insurance company ever had that 2 years. That's just an example of what they do.
Yeah, have you heard the allegations on P. Diddy lately? Have you seen that?
About the gay mafia?
About, like... allegedly one of his producers has got a lawsuit against him, and he's alleging that there was a lot of cameras in mansions and shit was being videotaped to use as blackmail. Have you heard
no,
that?
No, none of the lawsuit's real. I've seen the article. I mean, look, Jeffrey Epstein was not the only one doing this.
Yeah.
This is going down constantly. And that's just Hollywood has been a CIA operation before the CIA existed. I mean, it's been we had Army intelligence and all that before. 100%. I mean,
now do you think is there okay? Let's see. Yeah, that's a crazy lawsuit, man. That's a crazy one. If it's true, if he was the Jeffrey Epstein of the music business, holy. Fuck, that's going to bring a lot of people down because apparently Clive Davis is dead now, right?
Well, let me tell you how it works. I've talked to a lot of senior FBI agents and others. You get in the FBI, you mean well, you've been in the military, you're a lawyer, whatever, and then you're out on a trip in another city or another state or another country, and your boss says, hey, look at these girls, and it's like hot hookers. You're like, hey, go ahead and have fun with them. And if you don't do it, you never get promoted. If you have sex with the hookers, you do. Now they got blackmail to use on your wife. And that's kind of the first level. Yeah. Then it's like, hey, we got some 16-year-old, you know, hookers here. Prove we can trust you. Go in there and do it. I mean, they tell them we're doing illegal stuff to make sure we can trust you. It's like a Mexican mafia or MS-13 or the Crips, the Bloods. Or you got to go kill a liquor store owner, rob an old lady because they know they got dirt on you. But with the establishment, or like Bohemian Grove, Richard Nixon said it's the most goddamn faggy thing you ever saw. but he had to go to get elected governor and then president. And he just, he talked about it on presidential tape. You can play the clip, but he also talked to Roger Stone about it. And when I was there for 5 hours, four or five hours, and I was, you know, not fat and ugly like I am now. I was pretty good looking when I was young. And I had guys whistling at me. I mean, literally, I had to hide under a porch until the sun went down. And then they told me the ritual happened on the 15th, you know, at dusk. And it sure as hell, I caught it and got out of there. But I mean, I had dudes like trying to pinch me on the ass, chasing after me. So, I mean, it is a giant homosexual orgy. But see, that's Republicans. It's like they're like the conservative guys. So even if they don't want to have sex with a dude, they go there to be part of the ritual.
Damn. Did you hear about that boxer Ryan Garcia talking about Bohemian Grove?
Yeah. I mean, I got to be honest, and I'm not trying to put Ryan Garcia down. I've seen him, he's been a champ. He's a contender. He's a good looking guy. I listened to the whole interview, the whole Exit Spaces, and he sounded like he was having a mental breakdown to me.
Over the last few weeks, Ryan Garcia has seemingly had a hard time mentally. A few months ago, the boxer began to act erratically. And after watching his latest Twitter space, it really seems like something going on. Hear Ryan Garcia speaking on some controversial topics, which really seems very hard to believe.
Yo, Andrew.
Hey, bro. All right, talk to us.
Bro, I don't give a fuck, bro. They held me down and they made me watch little kids get raped. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Where?
Bro, they fucking took me to the fucking woods, bro, and they fucking tied. I'm not fucking joking, bro. I have fucking proof, bro. I don't give a fuck. Bro, I fucking will show you every fucking video you could ever fucking believe. Bohemian Grove is real. They fucking tied me down, and they made me fucking watch, dog. I absolutely don't give a fuck anymore. Yes, I fucking lost it. They're raping little kids.
He doesn't want to take us all, so let's go. Come on, Ryan. He doesn't
want to
take us.
Come on, fuck this guy. Bro, fuck this dude, dude.
Who?
Bro, you know the higher elites, bro. You already know who they are, bro.
You know the path you're going down is dangerous, my friend.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. They can't touch me. I'm a god.
Well, that's the first point of contention, because I care about you a lot, and I can assure you from my own personal experience that they can touch you, which is
bro,
the worst.
No, they can't, bro. All right, so come touch me, you fucking bitch.
You have proof of these things? You have proof of this on your phone?
Yes, of course I do. The fuck are you talking about? For if Alex could get a fucking video from the Bohemian Grove, of course I could.
Well, I have to be careful what I say because I'm in the middle of a judicial process right now.
You want me to get you out of it? I can help.
Well, bro, my door gets kicked in if I say what I'm thinking.
Okay, well, I can help you get out of it if you want. I know people.
Oh. Tell everyone at home then. Start from the beginning. When did this happen? Where did this happen? What exactly did you see? Why have you tweeted the things you've tweeted? Let people at home understand you a little
because
bit.
Because I don't give a fuck, bro. They rape me, right? I was 2 years old, they raped me. I have proof of that, too. That's where it all started, bro. Okay?
You do know there's going to be certain people who believe, and I'm, Ryan, you know I like you. We've been speaking for years. You know there's going to be people who believe you're just saying this because you've, I don't know, had a mental breakdown or taken drugs and you're repeating
some of the
things you've said on the internet. And that,
guess
so
what?
They're going to not believe you unless you come
give
at
me
it
the
very
drug
coherently.
Test then, Andrew, I'll go to the fucking Romania and take a drug test in front of your face.
Bro, you don't want to come here. You don't need Romanian jail. It's bad for your fight camp. But I'm just asking, like, you're going to have to tell a far more coherent story from start to finish for people to truly understand that what you're saying happened is what you saw, and that this is not some sort of episode or anything else. This is my advice to you as a brother. I'm trying to make it, if you want people to believe you, you're going to have to come along and explain from the absolute beginning exactly how it happened, who was involved, how you got there, what car you were in, where you were standing, everything.
Of course they're going to want that, and I have all the information possible.
Okay, so when are you releasing it? How are you releasing it? Or are you keeping it for yourself? Because it looks like you don't want to keep it for yourself.
I don't. At the right time, I'm going to release all of it. But at the right time, I'm going to do it. They're already calling me to tell me to stop. I don't give a fuck, dude. I've already had a meeting with them. I'm going to let you sit with that, Andrew.
All right, bro. Well, y'all want to know that either way, I'm praying for you, and I hope that...
Thank you, bro.
You know, no, and I mean
I don't give a fuck, bro. Alex Jones has been saying the same shit, and they try to... The only reason they can't stop me because they listen to the devil. I listen to God. God gave me authority. It's over for everybody, bro.
And I'm not saying that he didn't get tied down and watched somebody raped. I'm just saying Bohemian Grove... It's 2,700-acre Redwood Grove with all these beautiful encampments and basically tree houses. Some are tree houses, but it's like these big, you know, some are like five-bedroom, you know, things. Some are like camps with private chefs and maitre d's and all these little private restaurants. And mainly, I mean, when I was there, I saw Clint Eastwood. I saw Danny Glover. I was there 5 hours. And I saw them as I was getting ready to watch the ritual as they all got there. And I looked it up. Clint Eastwood's been a guest. So more than half the people coming are just invited to this beautiful private encampment. They're not part of it. It's to recruit them.
The owl is in his leafy temple. Let all within the grove be reverent before him. Lift up your heads, O ye trees, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting spires. For behold, here is Bohemian Shrine. Holy
are the pillars of this house.
When will he learn that me he cannot slay? Year after year, he burned me in this grove, lifting your puny shouts of triumph to the stars. But when again, he turned your faces to the marketplace, do ye not find me waiting? Fools! Fools!
Midsummer sets us free!
He shall burn me once again! Not with these flames, which hither ye have brought from regions where I reign. Ye fools and priests, I spit upon your fire.
Contender right now, got a big fight coming up, and he came out yesterday on a Spaces on X and stated that he had been tied down. We're gonna play the clip in a moment and watched children raped at Bohemian Grove. Now, I want to be 100% clear. I don't know if he's telling the truth. I'm not saying he's a bad person, and I'm also saying I've listened to the full interview, and he sounded like he was having a mental breakdown. So my issue with this is we have real Satanism out in the open. We have real human trafficking going on. We have Hollywood and the culture totally promoting it. We have pedophilia being mainlined by the corporate media. And we have unprecedented human trafficking and Senate reports admitting 400,000+ children they've lost track of, tens of thousands confirmed as sex slavery. So that's really going on. And I've infiltrated Bohemian Grove. I've studied it. I've gotten in touch with widows of members of it and got their internal annals. I've made documentary films on it. I've been part of Discovery Channel, History Channel shows on it. I tried to infiltrate again 10 years ago and barely escaped. And what I really realized out of all this is every week, without even looking for the clips on X, but also on Instagram and YouTube, Bohemian Grove gets 20, 30 million views, people talking about it. Joe Rogan talks about it all the time. He was talking about with Aaron Rodgers a few weeks ago. And just my documentaries, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, it's 23 years old. And The Order of Death, it's like 20 years old. Consistently every week get, let's be conservative, 15, 20 million views on X alone. So I've realized that I'm going to make a new documentary with all the updated information. I'm going to go back and find the old HD footage I've got, and I'm going to re-release this with updates. So it's going to happen. I want it to happen. So look for that. So they're not running around sacrificing kids everywhere. That goes on. Weird stuff goes on in certain areas. But to just say, I'm at Bohemian Grove, and they tied me down, and they raped kids, that then discredits what's really going on there. And all I'm saying is, tell us the date. Give us a police report. Give us the specifics. But instead, he sounded like he was having a mental meltdown. And I'm not being mean to him. When I said that last week, people said, oh, you're covering up, Jones. You're covering up. No, Kid Rock was on Joe Rogan. And he said, I was there once, and I got basically kicked out because I beat somebody up, and I was a guest. Everything he said was true. I mean, I know how the place works. So more than half the people there each year are, again, this guy locally, last year and this year, in the last 6 months, a guy in the fall and the same guy about a month ago, it's all over the web, went viral. Great work, by the way. I'm not taking away from it. He snuck in, but no one's there in the winter. It's 2,700 acres in a gorge, biggest redwoods in America that are left, bigger than the national park, because I've been there. They're like, they're so huge, you can't believe it. It's like a joke how big some of the trees are. Somewhere like 20 feet around. And you're sitting there, and they're doing all of this. And so my point was, is that, well, I don't know the point I was going to make about it. It's just that I have snuck into Bohemian Grove. I have seen what's going on there. And it's not like people swinging around like Tarzan, murdering kids everywhere. It is a gateway. It is a place for them to seduce people into it. Oh, the point I was going to make is that all the rest of the year, it is shut down and there's nobody in there. It's only July 15th, July 30th that the world leaders go there. And then that's when it's hard to get in. But this guy snuck in and found their annals, found their books, found their weird satanic stuff. I mean, it's definitely going on there. I'm just saying, it's not like you walk in and it's Satan is stabbing kids 24/7, but it's a bunch of drugs, a bunch of alcohol, a bunch of gay sex in the town nearby. You go there, there's private jets everywhere, hookers all over the place, female hookers. It's basically a giant sex party to compromise politicians.
Mm. Interesting. Now, shifting gears a little bit, I saw a video today, and Hibbler will play it. It's on direct energy weapons. I mean, it's basically like Star Wars is here. Can you play that video?
Are you talking about Greg Reese's report we produced?
I didn't see that one. I saw an actual news report. Can you play that, Hib? Watch. This is pretty fucking crazy.
This newly released footage shows the Dragonfire laser-directed energy weapon system in action, and it could be in the hands of military personnel in 5 years' time. It destroys targets with an intense beam of light and has pinpoint accuracy. It's able to hit something the size of a £1 coin from a kilometre away.
So we've been talking about the cost of firing a laser weapon to be £10 a shot. And really all we're talking about is the cost of the energy that you need to fire the laser weapon, obviously once you've got the system in place in the first place. And that compares very favorably with missiles, which might be thousands or tens of thousands or even more per single shot.
Scientists say Dragonfire proved itself in testing in Scotland and has the potential to transform the UK's defence capability. It could be used on land or sea and would remove the reliance on high-cost ammunition.
Drones are a really good example of the kinds of targets that a laser weapon would be very effective against. And certainly in our demonstrations Drones are one of the targets that we've successfully engaged on a number of occasions at really useful ranges.
Britain isn't alone in developing this technology. Militaries around the world see the advantage, like Israel, which has Iron Beam, designed to destroy short-range objects too close for the Iron Dome system.
We don't like to compare Dragonfire too specifically with what's being done in other countries, because they have their own research programs, which we're not privy to. But what I would note is that the Dragonfire technology that we've designed is UK bespoke technology, which is owned by us and can be used by us in support of generating laser weapons for our own platforms in future.
Dragonfire is now back from Scotland and will potentially be involved in further trials. Claire Sadler, Forces News.
Isn't that scary shit?
Well, this is like a newscast telling me the wheel was invented or that fire was discovered.
But yeah, a lot of people think that's like fantasy shit when you say, dude, lasers, like the fires in Maui. Damn.
Oh, they say, oh, Jewish space lasers. And what do Jews have to do with it other than Israel's got lasers too? Yeah, they throw that in. So let me explain. Long before Reagan got in and officially announced the Star Wars Initiative, they didn't just have lasers. They have particle beams. So a particle beam has a cyclotron in it. It can be 6 inches. It can be 2 feet around. It speeds up particles, you know, different heavy particles like uranium, plutonium, lead. And then it ionizes it. And it goes, vroom. My dad built one in college for a DARPA program he was involved in. And then it fires. It goes, vroom. And it fires particles in the beam that don't just burn through, they explode the target. Okay, they're tiny particles, but they explode the target. So they don't just have lasers. So they're showing us the Tinker toys they have. They had 40 years ago DC-10s. The whole plane was a laser with chemical lasers that could shoot down missiles at 100 miles away. They've got space-based lasers, particle beams, X-ray lasers. All that's been partially declassified. It's kind of like you always play the clip of Brennan when he was outgoing CIA director in like 2019.
2016.
Yeah, saying we control the weather. I saw the clip in 2019. We control the weather. We control everything. We can chemtrail, high altitude, aerosol. So that's all going on. They just keep the details secret from us. I guess in 2019, you showed me the clip. I hadn't seen that until I was out in L.A. with you. And your co-host, you showed me that, and now
I mean, yeah, viral. John Brennan at the CFR, basically, he's saying after decades of people, you know, after decades of people, conspiracy theorists saying the craziest shit, like the craziest conspiracy theory is that the CIA is spraying the skies with metallic particles. That was the crazy conspiracy theory that was going on for decades. Turns out, now John Brennan, while he's head of CIA, says that, oh, guess what? We have to save the world from global warming. Remember that crazy conspiracy theory where the CIA is going to be spraying the skies with metallic particles? Well, coincidentally,
yeah, now,
we are doing that.
And now Bill Gates is going to block out the sun?
Yeah, same thing. That's all chemtrail shit.
And by the way, for new viewers, you can search Bill Gates to block out the sun. You can search John Brennan, CIA, chemtrails. We're not making any of this up. So yeah, they've had lasers since the 50s. They've had them deployed since the 70s. Space is fully weaponized. It's not just lasers. More than lasers, they use meteor guns in orbit because you don't need a nuclear weapon or an atomic weapon. They have DU Sabos that have a rocket on the end because of their weight. They're very small, but they're very heavy. A small projectile is 100 pounds. It speeds up to 35,000 miles an hour. And one Sabo DU round can kill a target a mile under a mountain. So their big thing is what they call Smart Pebble. And that's DU rounds, some of the size of BBs. So you can have a Gatling gun in space that goes around and that cyclotrons up BBs because there's no resistance to space, shoots the BB out at 10,000 miles an hour. And if it's shooting at a satellite in lower Earth orbit, it speeds up, and then one BB hits it, it destroys it. So, and literally, they're DU BBs. And so the size of BBs up to artillery shells, and they're just all in space. They're called decapitation weapons because they can take out all the world leaders on Earth in a matter of hours.
Yeah, you used to talk about chemtrails a lot, and did you have a documentary on it too? Did you put one out on chemtrails?
Yeah, I had Dr. Listen, I used to be on the job. I used to be really focused. I still am, but not like I used to be. I'm sitting there like 16, 17 years ago, and Fox News goes, declassified today. Dr. Ben Livingston at the end of World War II flew into hurricanes and into typhoons, that's in the Pacific, with planes at the end of World War II, and he ran Operation Popeye in Vietnam and created weather weapons and created cloud seeding and all this. So I call him, and he's like 91, living in the panhandle of Texas. I say, sir, I'll pay for you and your wife to fly down to Austin, interview him for 2 hours. Then they threatened him, and he wouldn't come back on. And he admitted, since it was declassified, all of the weather modification they had. They could control hurricanes, and he did this off the coast of the East Coast in North and South Carolina. And he said, like 1965, they were already controlling hurricanes. They could create hurricanes. They could steer hurricanes. They could kill hurricanes. And somewhere is weather weapons, Dr. Ben Livingston. Just type in Alex Jones, Dr. Ben Livingston. In fact, I'm going to repost that on X today. Guys, go tell Dew, find the weather weapons thing. We're posting that today. He was the head of a secret project for 30 years. I call. I fly him to Austin on the Southwest Airlines. Get the interview.
So you can see, obviously, here, although these are dispensed in the vertical, they are essentially a horizontal cloud seeding device. See? That's how we made these clouds, like in Vietnam, work, because we could take a cloud, take a pyrotechnic like this, had a little bitty piece in it, and we'd fly by and just barely touch the cloud with one part. So that kept from blowing the thing apart, blowing the cloud up. But what we would do, and like in Carla or Rita, those kind of clouds, we would maybe use, this is one cloud seeding device here, cut into five pieces. But in one like this, you may be flying 350 miles an hour, kicking one out every 200 or 300 meters, and just essentially seed the whole area on the horizontal, and the whole top would blow away.
Amazing. We were the first ones to fly into hurricanes for the purpose of modifying them, if you will. That was Project Storm Fury. I began to be extremely confident that we could do whatever we wanted to with a hurricane. The Project Storm Fury had been going on since 1961, and they had already done, or had done, two experiments, one in 61 and 63. Well, by 1964, when I was there in 1964, I wrote the plan and started to have a track and a mission for every flight that was on the hurricane cloud seeding experiments. So we had documentation for everything. Operation and Project Storm Fury are very positive. His report said that we claim they should consider now if a hurricane heads straight towards Miami. Some wanted to continue hurricane reductions, and the other part did not want to. It was a political football, and there are people that were wanting to do more pure research and less application engineering wanted to kill Project Storm Fury. So they built up an artificial barrier that prevented hurricanes from ever qualifying to be experimented or seeded for damage reduction. NOAA research people came up with data that suggested that if a hurricane went through a certain little geographical area, there was no history in 100 years that a hurricane had been through that area ever reached land. So they made a requirement that the storm must go through this area of, I call it an area of improbability, before it would qualify for hurricane damage reduction attention. So after about 10 years, no hurricanes went through there, and the people, that is the scientists who didn't want to spend money on aircraft reconnaissance, decided, well, it's just too expensive. We can't wait any longer, so they killed the project altogether. I am terribly disappointed that the government have decided a long time ago not to do the hurricane damage reduction anymore. They can talk about the scientifically rigorous data, the inability of civilian aircraft and so forth to collect this data, and poo-poo the empirical, that is to say, the observations that you make just by looking out the window or watching your inputs, saying it has no value. In order to change the weather and know that you're changing it, you must have instrumentation or document it. So my line of business really was to design and make equipment that would document changes in the weather. You take a cloud that Mother Nature or God has provided, and you alter that cloud. Well, the reason the cloud doesn't expand on its own in most cases is the fact that there's a lot of moisture, but there's no nuclei. There's nothing for the moisture to stick to. So when you provide the silver iodide nuclei, it causes the water to coalesce to that nuclei, and when it does, it releases heat, which means everything starts to rise. If you produce enough nuclei at the right places in a cloud, there's essentially no limit to how fast and how far it'll grow, because it just keeps releasing heat as it goes up, and of course the heat keeps trying to rise.
So the nuclei, it's very small, and they're put off by these flares, but then water starts attracting to it, and then it builds condensation.
Well, you put out a G into these, silver iodide nuclei, and they attract water. They just sponge it up. But when they do, that water condenses, and it releases what they call the latent heat of condensation. The heat goes out of it.
Oh.
And the whole thing starts rising. If you're in the business of trying to kill clouds, then, of course, you go up to the area where there are some vertical shear, the wind blowing some direction or other, and you provide the nuclei at a level above where the raindrops are. They are then so light that the wind vertical shear merely blows the top of the cloud away. Then there's no place for the coalescence or the nucleation to take place. Well, the Joint Chiefs of Staff had been wishing for quite some time, in terms of years, that they had some way of slowing the truck down in Vietnam. That led me to advise the Joint Chiefs of Staff that we had a potential weapon system, and so I was asked to start to put together a top secret operation to go to Vietnam to see if we couldn't make it rain more over there as a military operation. All the roads over there were dirt roads, and when it rained, it caused them a lot of problems. So that during the monsoon season, there was so much rain and water in the roads that the trucks really couldn't move very freely. Our mission was to make it rain during the dry season. On that particular day, the clouds were very small. There just weren't any real big thunderstorms or anything like that. But I picked a cloud that was sitting out essentially by itself with a number of small clouds. I'm talking about clouds whose tops were somewhere near the freezing level, but not high enough to really grow. And I nurtured one of those clouds until it finally got it in well past the freezing level, and then the cloud developed a lot of convective activity, and it started sucking clouds into it, just building up and building up. And I took a series of pictures where I called for 41 minutes. By the end of 41 minutes, we had flown up to over 65,000 feet, and we still couldn't reach the top of the cloud. So we knew we had a barn burner there. And by the next morning, we had washed out everything in the world and did a lot of damage to people and all that sort of thing, but it was a real success as far as blocking the roads off. With just two of us involved, myself and a civilian, but we conducted that operation with aircraft, military aircraft, mostly from Marine Corps, and then shortly thereafter we started involving the U.S. Air Force. Well, we actually began the 3rd or 4th of September, and by the 13th of October, we had a couple of storms that had actually washed out bridges, and the results were so successful until I was called down to Saigon to brief the generals, the Air Force generals, the Army generals down there, and they suggested that I need to go make this report to President Johnson. back in Washington, D.C. They were excited about it, but they had no authorization, if you will, to use this as a military weapon system. I was there in very top secret classification as a research project. That's the way we were able to conduct a mission without the international community, if you will, being apprised of what we were doing and how we were doing it. It was kept top secret for a long time. It was first reported that this was going on in 1972. That's the first time the Congress ever heard about it. So, as you can see, it was not something everyone knew about for a long time.
It must feel good, though. I mean, you're the father or something. You used weather weapons first.
Well, it's okay.
And for all we know, is that the only time they've been used?
That same project went on to and through 1972 when we got out of Vietnam. But the Air Force was still doing it.
But was it only used in Vietnam, never anywhere else?
No, it's the only place ever. We've had no requirement for it anywhere else that I can think of. But it could be used anywhere.
Did you ever do any testing in the U.S.?
Did I? Oh, yeah, a lot, yeah.
You were the head of what base? You were the head of acting commander of what base?
I was the acting commanding officer at the Corona Naval Weapons Research Center.
And they worked on a lot more there than just weather weapons, didn't they?
Yes, they do. But my main contribution at Corona was to write a plan for weather modification control for the whole world at any given time. We could send a number of airplanes with the materials and dispensing equipment we had and probably control the weather all the way around the world.
Why? Because you said it was on it's on seven major front lines?
Well, there are only from five to seven major troughs around the world at any given time, and they undulate just like ocean waves. They move back and forth and back and forth. And at any time, there's a front associated with those where all the thunderstorms are located. And with having a few airplanes, a couple of airplanes at the right place, you could run down that line of thunderstorms and do whatever you wanted to with them.
This is out of the June 1974 Science Magazine. And this article was actually written in 1974. Yeah, it was, 1974. And this is when the Senate got wind that something had been going on in Vietnam that they didn't know about, and they wanted to know about it. Well, it's interesting to note that this project ended in 1972. It started in 1966. So you can see the secrecy.
That's one thing that is a big concern of mine when I'm hearing, you know, like Trump, you know, talk about what he's going to do to make America great again. You know, secure the border, get out of fucking NATO and all that shit. They have all their he's got all a list of things that he's going to do that are great, that sound great for America. But no president has ever addressed chemtrails and geoengineering and that should be like the number one issue. We're gonna stop that shit, or we're gonna pull fluoride out of the water. How come they never talk about chemtrails? And you always used to talk about chemtrails, and now so much shit has happened, Alex. I get it, there's so much other shit, but I think now is the time to go hard with the chemtrails. That's the most important thing. What's more important than the air you breathe? What's more important than that?
I think
chemtrails got lost. They're spraying this shit all over Austin, too.
There was a 1992 Nobel Prize given for a plan to add aluminum dioxide, barium salts, and some other radioactive salt to kerosene, this jet fuel, and then it would create nuclei that would block out the sun. They're doing it. And they admit they're doing it. So out of one side of their mouth, they admit they're doing it. But if we cover it, we're kooks and we're crazy. And so, yeah, I totally agree. And that's where Trump said he was going to declassify the Kennedy stuff, didn't do it. And he would give the orders, they wouldn't follow it. You know, I got a great crew here, and they do what I tell them. But half the time, they can't get it done. They're too busy. If my crew didn't want to do what I told them, they would shut me down. And I'm not giving Trump an excuse. It's just true. He's running millions of employees.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue.
Yeah. So what do you think is going on exactly? Like, just like a few days ago, they sprayed the shit out of L.A. What do you think that, like, they did? Are they doing it just to get us used to it? So one day they might actually have to drop some poison on us and we won't know where it came
from? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do what you did? You're right. It was 2016. I didn't see it till 2019. No one had seen it. No one I knew about it. I think
can
I know
everything.
Can
you find that hip real quick? We play it all the time.
Yeah, hold
it's
on,
only 2 minutes. It's only 2 minutes.
I'm sitting there with you and your co-host at the time in L.A., and I'd just gone, I think, on Joe's show, and you bring me over to your office, and I'm sitting there with you, and you go, have you seen this? And I'm like, whoa. And later I went to C-SPAN, searched it. It was on C-SPAN. It's not fake. It's not AI. It's real. If you watch that 3-4 minute clip, the whole thing's like an hour long, but the 3-4 minute clip, he says we have treaties and governments don't want us to have weather weapons to cut off crops and starve people. So we can't admit we're doing it, but we do have this. So you just answer your own question. We can play that clip and start and stop it because he explains we have the 1979 weather weapon treaty.
Are you talking about Brennan?
Yeah, Brennan at the
okay,
CFR.
Yeah, it's hard to find on YouTube. I'm going to go somewhere else.
You got to go duck, go.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, they try to hide it. We should put it out again. So my point is, Eddie, you already said it. You answered your question. He says, we got treaties. Other governments don't like it. It can be used to cut off crops. It can be used for weather weapons. So they're doing it all as a test, attacking their own countries, doing their own things for control. And they're admitting it like we're all idiots. He's on C-SPAN admitting it, and he says we have treaties, so we can't admit we're doing it. So it's like they're at the adult table at Thanksgiving having discussions about real stuff. We're at the kid table eating our boogers. And so basically, this clip says it all. It's in the guys, anybody can type in 1978, because they did two of them, 1979 weather weapon treaties. And so we're signatories to treaties, and for whatever reason, they tell Trump, don't talk about it. Here it is.
Significantly larger proportions of retired people and older people relative to working age citizens. Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanoes.
All right, hit pause. Back it up 5 seconds. So they go, chemtrails don't exist. Let me just say this. You jump into Eddie, but just chemtrails don't exist because that's not the technical term. Atmospheric stratospheric injection. So we're using the lay term. They go, that doesn't exist because we're not using the right term. So see, they're playing this game. Start it over.
Injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive. The National Research Council estimates that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly.
That's a good deal.
As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community.
Challenges.
On the technical side, greenhouse gas emission reductions would still have to accompany SAI to address other climate change effects, such as ocean acidification, because SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations.
All right, pause again. Back it up 20 seconds.
Dude, he's stuffing so much in there. He's stuffing.
Geopolitical, hurting some regions, helping others. That's what they're doing. So he's rolling it out to them that we're about to start going public with this. We've been denying it's happening so that there's no political debate. Now we're admitting it's about destroying who we want and empowering who we want. Continue.
SAI alone would not remove greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. On the geopolitical side, the technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations.
You think so?
Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI. And
all right, so great job, Eddie, exposing that. So that's on C-SPAN's website, and he just admits it all right there.
And he's on the Council on Foreign Relations. He's at CFR. Like, dude, it's incredible. CIA director at the CFR.
You can pull up a clip of Hillary at the CFR, any clip of her. She goes, you're my bosses. You tell me what to do.
She says that on stage.
Yep.
Damn, I'd like to see that.
But this shows us how we don't know everything, because you think I know everything. I don't. And I remember like 2019, you're like, hey, show this clip. And I was like, whoa, I never seen that. And then I went and found it on C-SPAN. I mean, that's what I'm saying. What's crazy is they admit all this. I have Fauci saying, we're going to use the threat of a virus to take over and force everybody to take these shots 3 years before they did this. So that's what's frustrating is it's so hard to keep track. That's why not one talk show host, not Joe Rogan, not Eddie Bravo, not Alex Jones, we can't keep track of it, but together we can, and the viewers and listeners can.
Yeah, I think we need, Alex, we need another chemtrail documentary, man. I think we do. That's so fucking important, man. Nobody's talking about it. They're talking about the border, which is important. They're talking about fucking, inflation, the economy.
Well, you heard him say this is the cheapest way to control the world. For $10 billion, they can completely control the weather.
Yeah.
And they're doing it.
Yeah, and then, at the same time, it ties into climate change, because it's not just about,
they're really attacking the climate and holding us hostage, saying, let us run your life, or we're going to destroy everything. Livingston, with 10 aircraft that he was piloting, the command aircraft, flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail with 10 feet of water and shut them down for months and killed thousands. He's testified to that. So old-fashioned systems in the 60s, could flood whole communities. Imagine what they're doing now.
Oh, have you had Dane Wigington on your podcast? Many times, man. It's just not talked about enough, man. I know
people. Geoengineering Watch.
Yes. Dane Wigington. He's the Helio Gracie of chemtrails, man. But I really, really think that it's time to bring that shit back in a big way. People forgot about it. They're thinking about the border and all that shit too much. Or not too much, but dude,
I hear
nothing's
you.
More border, important than the
important,
air.
Important, but it's a thing we know about now. We've got the chemicals in the food and water, the deadly shots, the open, all of it. All of it's important. It all goes together. Yeah, there's so many Hillary Clinton clips, but yeah,
I may have found it.
Here she is saying they're her boss. Yeah,
is this it? This is the one, Alex.
I think it is.
Okay. Like,
thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean,
Damn.
By the way, I need to hire your video guy. My crew is great, but he knows how to find stuff quick. I'm impressed, because they try to suppress those clips.
You just gotta go to DuckDuckGo. You go to if you want to find something on YouTube, you can't find like something good on YouTube. You can't find it on YouTube.
They oh my God! All the Google platforms are worthless.
Yeah, it's but if you go to crap. If you go to DuckDuckGo and then you type in site. S-I-T-E semicolon and then whatever, no space, whatever website you want, site semicolon youtube.com and then a space with the keywords, it takes you right to the videos.
Eddie, when are you going to air this? Because I'm my dad's old. I love him. We're going to go on a hunting trip the next few days. I'd love to air this on my show.
We'll air it Friday. We'll expedite it. You down?
I'm down.
Okay, so what's going to happen with Trump in this election? How do you see it playing out? Are they just going to cancel the election? Are they going to turn off the internet? It seems like they're going to turn off the internet, right? Like they're preparing.
Well, I mean, if I knew all that, I really would be Nostradamus. I'm not. I go off the
wrong doctor. Dude, you knew about 9/11. Come on, what's going on? In your opinion, just guess, speculate.
No, I mean,
Go ahead.
I think what you just said. How do I know this stuff? They pre-program. So they say cyber attacks run by the Russians,
solar
flares, wars, race wars, total destabilization, false flag mass shootings. I mean, they're definitely hyping it all. So we're 8 months out from the election. I mean, the sky's the limit. Absolutely. They're going to pull out all the stops because the world's awakening up. People are pissed off. I think they want to crash the stock market once Trump gets in. But if they have to crash it before, they'll do it. But if he becomes president-elect, they're going to activate Hezbollah, Hamas, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. They're going to burn this country down. Atlantic Monthly is like their mouthpiece. They said, oh, if Trump tries to declare the Insurrection Act like George Herbert Walker Bush and the L.A. riots, we're going to say he's a dictator, remove him.
Watch the full video right now at BAM.video.